All right. In Psalms, the 118th chapter. It says here in the 21st verse, it says, I will praise thee. How many know that praising God has to do with your will? You don't praise God because you feel like it. Or you don't feel like it. You praise God because you said, I will. Not because everything's going all right. Some people only praise God when everything's going all right. But it says, I will praise the Lord, for you've heard me. And you have become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. What was the stone that they refused? Was Jesus Christ. The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner, which is in reference to Jesus Christ. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day. How many know this is the day? This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice. Because it's Palm Sunday, we will rejoice and we will be glad in it. Every day is the day that the Lord has made. And because we acknowledge Him, it says in the next verse, save now. You can't say, Lord, save now until you rejoice in the day that the Lord hath made. God cannot bless a complainer. The complainers never entered into the promised land. Caleb and Joshua entered in because they weren't complainers. Complaints are going to keep people out of heaven. I don't care how much you go to church. I don't care how much of Moses' law you keep. I said, if you're a complainer, you are not going to make it in to the promised land. The complainers had no place to sin. They were in the wilderness, but their sin was complaining. And because they kept looking back to Egypt, you know why they wanted to go back there? In a way, even though they were in servitude, they didn't have any responsibility. Though they were slaves, they were getting three hots and a cot. That meant they were getting three meals and a bed. But now that they got out of bondage, now they were going to have to face reality and they were going to have to do something. It's easier to let other people provide. Some people would rather remain in servitude. That's why Jesus said in John the 5th chapter to a man that was crippled. And everybody in John the 5th chapter, when the angel troubled the water, everybody was jumping into the water and being healed. But this man laid there and nobody helped him. And Jesus passed by. How many know when nobody's there to help you, Jesus will pass by? And Jesus asked him a question. He said, will you be made whole? You know what he was saying to him? Are you willing to face life after 38 years of begging? Are you willing to face life after 38 years of begging? You see, they were in servitude so long. Now they had to enter into the promised land and they were looking back saying, wait a minute. We were living a pretty good life. We were getting our meals and here we are in the wilderness. There's no food. There's no water. Moses, you have brought us out here to die. That was their complaint. Egypt was better. Some people would rather live in Egypt, and that's why they can't be blessed spiritually, physically, or financially, because as you go on in the Lord, you're going to have greater battles. Greater battles are ahead of you. You see, the man that's laying in Skid Row, people feel sorry for them. But it's the one that's climbing the ladder to success. That's the one that the devil wants to get. So the greater the blessings, the greater the battles. They didn't want to be in the battle. They would rather go back to Egypt. And that's why Jesus said in John the 5th chapter to the crippled man, 38 years of begging, will you be made whole? Are you willing to face life? Sometimes it's easier to beg. Read it for us, Kevin, in John, the 5th chapter. What does it say?
Which verse? Wait, what am I still?
The first.
First verse. John 5 and 1 says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue.
Hey, how many know this is the sheep market here? How many know this is the sheep market? Amen. But we've got promoted. We're out of the sheepfold. You see, David used to be a sheep herder, but when he got anointed, he got out of tending sheep. He wound up being a king. How many know we're kings and priests today? You say, how are we a priest? Because we offer up spiritual sacrifices to God. That's how you know you're in the priesthood. When you worship the Lord, that was the job of the priest. How do you know you're a king? Because as a king, you have authority. Some people don't know the authority they have in the kingdom of God. But we have authority to bind and to loose. And we have the authority to offer up sacrifices unto God. What did Paul say? Present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. God don't want dead sacrifices. He wants a living sacrifice. God honors those that are alive. Alive. So they were at the sheep market.
They were at the sheep market.
Sheep market. Go ahead.
And there was a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water.
Hey, some people don't know how to jump in when it starts moving. I said they don't know how to jump in when it starts moving. You see, Naaman had to jump in the River Jordan. And when he jumped into the River Jordan, like Elisha told him to do, when he dipped seven times, he came up and he received a miracle. Some people want everybody else to do it for them. I don't care how much faith someone has for you. I said, if you are willing to jump in yourself, you're not going to get your miracle. I said, you got to exercise some faith also. That's why Jesus said to the man, wilt thou be made whole? Are you willing to face life? Are you willing to praise God on your own? In spite of what you're going through. Or you want someone else to praise God for you? Can you say amen? You got to get out of Egypt. That's what happened to Lot's wife, you see. After the angel of the Lord visits, you can have a divine visitations, and there are still some people, they want to go back. They want to look back. When they were told to get out of Sodom and Gomorrah, said no looking back. Once you get out, you got nothing to look back to. But here God sends a visitation, and just before judgment, God always sends mercy. Remember that. Before judgment, God sends mercy. And people don't know it now. You're living in an extended period of grace. God is sending mercy to his people. The ark, the door is open. The door is open. God opened the door for Sodom and Gomorrah. Angels went down and warned Lot to flee from the wrath to come. This is the day that we are living in. Are you getting it today? Do you understand what's happening? Amen. It's easy to receive from the government. Stay in Egypt. You see, Pharaoh was taking care of all the slaves. I don't know about you, honey, but I'm free today.
Thank you.
I said, are you free?
Yes.
I said, are you free? I said, are you free today? Thank God I'm free. Amen. That's why Jesus came into the world, to tell you that you are free. Who carried Jesus' cross, Evelyn?
Simon of Cyrene.
And he was what? From where?
He was from the northern part of Africa.
He was from the northern part of Africa. All right? Now, she had a son. Is that right?
Simon and his wife had a son named Rufus.
They had a son named Rufus. Everybody say Rufus.
Rufus.
And Rufus was in the Senate in Rome. And Rufus and Rufus's mother were friends with the Apostle Paul. Am I right?
That's correct.
Tell us a little bit about it.
Rufus's mother, which was Simon's wife, was called a mother to Paul because when he was in prison, he wrote a letter to the Romans. And he greeted Rufus and his mother, and he said that she was like his own mother because she contributed to him with money and treated him as a son.
Rufus was in the Senate. Rufus was black. The one that carried Jesus' cross was black.
Right.
Are you getting it? And they helped the Apostle Paul. That's why Paul was able to have an audience. Hello? With the head of the Roman Empire. Are you getting the message? It's like trying to get your voice heard at the Supreme Court, honey. Unless you know somebody, you're not going to go stand before those judges. I said, you got to have some connections to go before them. So the ones that helped Paul when he was in Rome was the very one that carried Jesus' cross. They had a son named Rufus, who was then in the Senate in Rome. This is history, folks. You see what I'm saying? This is in history, and that's what the Bible is. It's a history book. And don't go around saying the Holy Bible is holy, because when you read between the pages, there's a lot of things in there that are not as holy as people try to portray it. You know what the word Tamar means? Tamar means what, Evelyn?
Tamar is the word for palm tree.
Palm trees. Today is Palm Sunday, is that right?
Yes.
Everybody wanted to be named Tamar in that day. Tamar, because the palm tree represented what? Prosperity?
Beauty, prosperity, and victory.
Beauty, prosperity, and victory. So Tamar, her name was mentioned in Genesis. And what did Tamar do, Barry?
She married Judah's son.
Uh-huh.
And it didn't work out. Judah's son died. And the law said that the next son would be hers. So she married him, and he died. Judah's two boys died. There was a third boy that Judah was going to give to her, and he didn't. He says, I'll give him to you, I'll give him to you, I'll give him to you, and he never did. So Tamar says, okay, pal. She dressed up like a harlot one day, and she stood by the side of the road. And when Judah was passing by, going to check out his flocks, he saw a harlot there. He went unto her, and he said,
her name was Tamar, by the way, Palm Sunday. Go ahead, Barry, continue.
So he went into her, if you know what I'm talking about. Amen. And he says, listen, honey, I don't have any money with me right now. She says, oh, that's fine. I'll take your ring and your cane, your staff, and, you know, that'll be fine. And a few months later, this is Judah from the tribe of Judah. Remember?
Tribe of Judah. Everybody say, rawr, I am of the tribe of Judah. I tell you, honey, when you read between these pages, you see, people put the word Holy Bible on it, but God says, hey, I'm letting you know right where you live what life is about. It's a history book. What took place? So the word Tamar comes from the word of the palm tree, and I'm going to get into the waving of the palms here in a minute. So continue, Barry.
Well, they found out, everybody found out that she was pregnant, and of course she didn't have a husband because they were dead. And Judah says, you little gutter snipe, or whatever he called her, he said, you need to die. And he got the, everybody says, we're going to stone this girl. She says, oh yeah, she was smart. She was smart. This is the tribe of Judah and this was the lineage of Christ. She was smarter than Judah was because she says, okay, pal, I'm pregnant and you can stone me, but guess what? I'm pregnant by the guy who gave me, you ever see this stick before, bud? And the ring and the signet. And he says, you're more righteous than me. And she had twins. And the first of the twins, Zara and Perez. And that was the direct lineage of Christ.
And her name was Tamar. Taking the name for the palm tree. That was the Hebrew name. Is that right?
That's right. The Hebrew,
name, mm-hmm. Tamar. So you see, she was a girl that was prosperous.
Yes.
She knew what she was doing. Problem is a lot of Christians, they don't know K-Pasa. They don't know what they're doing. Some don't even know what they're doing in church. Some just came to get their palm leaves and then they go, the way ain't going to help you if you don't know what you got it for. Everybody gets their palm leaves and they all make their little palm crosses. Hello? There's a significance in it. Are you going to stay in Egypt? Oh, you're going to come out of Egypt. You see, Tamar didn't want to stay in Egypt. Are you getting the message? She didn't want to stay in Egypt, and she had the name. Success, beauty, prosperity. She had the right name, and it happened, and it was in the lineage of Jesus Christ. The Lord don't use people that want to remain in Egypt, and God ain't going to bless people there. That's why Jesus said to the man at the sheep market in John the 5th chapter, are you willing to face life? Are you willing to face life? Is that what he said, Kevin?
That's right. He said, will thou be made whole?
Will you what?
Wilt thou be made whole?
What did the man say?
The impotent man answered him and said, sir, I have no man.
I have no man to help me. I'm willing to face life. But because it's the Sabbath and everybody's so holy, they won't take me down to the pool. That's why no one helped him. It was on the Sabbath that the water was troubled. And on the Sabbath day, you couldn't help anybody. They let him lay there. But Jesus passed by. But he said, I don't have any man to help me. And what did Jesus say?
Jesus saith unto him, arise, take up thy bed.
I'm going to show you something. He didn't pray a prayer. Everything that Jesus did was a command. Everything that Jesus did was a command. And that's why a lot of people can't receive a miracle, because they'd rather hear a prayer of sympathy, because people don't like commands. People don't like to take orders. They like to give orders. They like to tell people, everybody wants to be the boss, but no one wants to put in the boss's hours. Nobody wants to put in the boss's hours. They want a short week, a lot of money, hello, and an easy way to make a living. I had some amens. Are you willing? Are you willing to face life? Is that what was asked, Kevin?
He was saying, will thou be made whole?
Uh-huh. He said, what?
The impotent man answered him and said, sir, I have no man.
No man. Everybody was interested in themselves. Nobody there to help me. They're all taking care of themselves. So what happened?
Jesus saith unto him, rise.
Jesus said what?
Jesus saith,
rise and do what?
Take up thy bed.
Take up thy bed and start walking. He didn't pray a prayer of sympathy for him. Oh, Heavenly Father, help this man now. He loves you so much and you're concerned about the sparrow that falls to the ground. You know the prayers. Did he pray a long prayer, Kevin?
No, he did not.
What did he tell him to do?
He told him to rise.
He said, rise. If you want a miracle, you got to face life. You have to rise. Can you say amen? Can't sit there in your sympathy and feel sorry for yourself. Get up and rise and do something. I said, and God will bless you and he'll open the windows of heaven for you. Can you say praise the Lord? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I said, thank you, Jesus. Amen. He said, rise, take up thy bed.
and walked.
And then what happened?
Immediately.
What?
Immediately.
Go ahead.
The man was made whole, took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath.
Sabbath.